Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadi Payasyan Nipaparameshyam Vahayasanam Utayad Viharam Astadipatyam Gunasan Vivaye Sahaiva Gatsan Manasendayascha. However, O King, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyment by transference to the topmost planet, Brahmalok, for the achievement of the eightfold perfections, travel in outer space with the Vaihyasas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses, purport. In the upper status of the planetary system, there are facilities thousands and thousands of times greater for material enjoyment than in the lower planetary system. The topmost planetary system consists of planets like Brahmalok and Dhruvalok, the pole star, and all of them are situated beyond Mahalok. The inhabitants of those planets are empowered with eightfold achievements of mystic perfection. They do not have to learn and practice the mystic processes of yogic perfection and achieve the power of becoming small like a particle, anima siddhi, or lighter than a soft feather, lagima siddhi. They do not have to get anything and everything from anywhere and everywhere, prapti siddhi, to become heavier than the heaviest, mahima siddhi, to act freely, even to create something wonderful or annihilate everything at will. Shitva city, to control all material elements, the Shitva city, to possess such power as will never be frustrated in any desire, Prakamya city, or to assume any shape or form one may even whimsically desire, Kama Vasayata city. All these experiences are as common as natural gifts to the inhabitants of those higher planets. They do not require any mechanical help to travel in outer space, and they can move and travel at will from one planet to another planet within no time. The inhabitants of the Earth cannot move even to the nearest planet except by mechanical vehicles like spacecraft. But the highly talented inhabitants of such higher planets can do everything very easily. Since a materialist is generally inquisitive to experience what is actually in such planetary systems, he wants to see everything personally. Inquisitive persons tour all over the world to gain direct local experience. The less intelligent transcendentalist similarly desires to have some experience of those places about which he has heard so many wonderful things. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desire by going there with the present materialistic mind and senses. The prime inclination of the materialistic mind is to lord it over the material world, and all the siddhis mentioned above are features of domination over the world. The devotees of the Lord are not ambitious to dominate a false and temporary phenomena. On the contrary, a devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme predominator, the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord, the supreme predominator, is spiritual or transcendental. And one has to attain this purification of mind and the senses to get admission into the spiritual kingdom. With the materialistic mind, one could reach the best planet in the universe, but no one can enter into the kingdom of God. Senses are called spiritually purified when they are not involved in sense gratification. Senses require engagements, and when the senses are engaged totally in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they have no chance to become contaminated by material infections. panchakaupaturubhyascha kripasindubhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivakavi Ho Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, the nature of this class is that different people are here on different days, except two or three people. As Mother Narayani said, we discussed merging. So I'll give a little summary of how everything is merged. Try to give it really briefly. Remember, last chapter, the universal form was described. First step in God realization, to make those who are have some spiritual aspirations, well, to make people who are materialistic or impersonal, give them the first step of God realization is to have some sense of God. And God means our master, God means great. As our standard of judging things is matter, the first step of God realization is to see how God is great by seeing the material energy in connection with Him and meditating on the universe. Anyway, this was described. We described this before. And then, of course, the chapter began where Sukadeva Goswami began how Lord Brahma achieved perfection by doing this. And then we saw how he was describing, the same things I mentioned yesterday, but he was describing how one should not aim to anything in this material world and don't become, what is the question asked in the initial question asked by Maharaj Prickett, what is the duty of a man who's about to die, what he should not do? The guru also has to explain what you should not do. Otherwise, in terms of your endeavors for Krishna consciousness, you may do something else thinking it's Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives a definition of pure devotional service that's so distinct that you cannot mistake it for anything else for that reason. And he explains devotional service in terms of what it is and what it's not. You don't put your energy, your sincere endeavor in something that's not actually purely Krishna conscious. So therefore, he explained them not what not to do. And that's don't endeavor for anything in this material world. You won't find happiness there. And therefore, one should live a very simple and renounced life. And understanding that our objective is not here within the material world and search out God who's in the heart of the super soul. Which brings us to the next step of God realization. Coming to worshiping the Lord in the heart. Which takes even a little bit more degree of devotion. So that was described. And there were several points that were very interesting in describing that for those of you who are not here. We can repeat them again. The first point is that there's levels of meditation. There's levels of meditation. There's more and more complete objects of meditation in terms of the absolute truth. And when you are worshipping on your object of meditation, there's a system of meditating. And the qualification of meditation is that your consciousness has to be purified. Your intelligence has to be purified. So it means that you have to become increasingly more detached to increase your level of meditation. If you take the higher levels of meditation before you're detached, then so many things can happen. One thing can happen is if you're not sufficiently detached to the level of meditation you're on, then you may just meditate on sense gratification because you can't fix the mind at that level. And so he described this, about this progression, and therefore when you see the form of the Lord in the heart, you start worshiping by the lotus feet. And then you proceed higher and higher. You become more and more qualified. This was described. These are very, very important points in so many ways. And then we saw that for meditation, two things must really be there to become perfect in meditation. That the senses have to be regulated. You have to be detached. Meditation is like going up. And as you go up, you got to give up more and more. You got to become detached if you want to meditate in the proper way. And you have to have the right objective. The intelligence has to be fixed. We saw this, that that the intelligence has to be fixed. You have to have the proper aim. And you have to be free from material desires. And in our own personal meditation, this is also very important, that our intelligence has to be fixed. We have to have the proper aim. If we don't chant with the proper aim, then it's a lower level of practice. For example, if we can even chant, we can even practice devotional service with the aim of merging. We can practice devotional service with the aim of fulfilling our material desires. So we have to have the proper aim. We have to have the proper objective. And the proper objective is akunti dristi. Akunta. Akunta means like vaikunta. Unvai means without anxiety, that place without anxiety, the param gatim. The supreme objective. We must have that objective. And then what was described, because the question, you see that Sukadeva Goswami is answering to Maharaj Cricket, the question he's been asking is, what is the duty of a man who's about to die and what he should not do? So he's explaining different options. And we explain the reason why he's explaining different options of what to do. One, so that they can be rejected, so that he can just focus his mind on chanting, hearing, and worshiping Krishna. And also because there's elements in all these different spiritual processes that are relevant to us also. Within Krishna consciousness is also Jnana Yoga. It's also Karma Yoga. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita it's divided in three parts. And after Krishna tells Arjuna to practice Bhakti Yoga, he explains a little bit about Jnana Yoga. So that we can remain fixed in bhakti yoga, so we won't become distracted in the material world. And we can see it Prabhupada's preaching. He stressed chanting Hare Krishna, but he also taught us what not to do. So anyway, this progression was there, and then we're getting to the merging part. This is the manasi, the contemplative devotee. And how by the use of fixed up intelligence, you can become detached from the material world. By fixed up intelligence, you become detached from the material world. You can become fixed on a spiritual objective. And then you can gradually elevate the soul through the different chakras in the body. He described the yogi at the time of death. How he gives up the material body, and how he regulates the life airs. And with the intelligence, he becomes so contemplative that he can search out within his body the different chakras and then elevate his life airs very, very gradually. And then, he's completely, at that particular point when the yogi mechanically kind of regulates his body, has his intelligence fixed up, at that particular point, if he has become completely detached from this material world, and he maintains his objective, then he can go back to Godhead. And that's called, that's basically Yoga Mishra Bhakti, is mentioned, I think, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So this is really the point. It's like a different, and Prabhupada will explain later, we're not qualified for this process, but in previous ages, people would have an inclination for this kind of activity. They wouldn't have, they wouldn't have an inclination so much for what we're doing because it's too easy. If you see someone who's like very, very renounced and, you know, austere, you know, their practices of Krishna consciousness, what they like to do, is always a little bit more difficult and dry. It's their inclination to do in that way. Their inclination to do in that way. And they're very much in the mode of goodness, and this is what inspired them. So this is a very, very interesting, and therefore Prabhupada is saying the bhakti yoga, because it's bhakti yoga, but what happens is before you really get so much on the meditation on Krishna and your spiritual objective, first you work on purifying the body. It's just like you ladies will be going to yoga now. Right? So the reason you're going is because in the morning you want to be healthy so that you can focus the mind on Krishna. But when you're doing yoga, you're just going to be completely thinking about your body. But it's connected. It's connected. You know, because you want to do the asanas, and then in the morning you'll be able to sit up straight and, you know, chant without all the different airs going through the brain and making one agitated and distracted. That's the process. So this process is being described. And therefore, Prabhupada, in one purport, he described it, controlling the life there by prescribed yogic process, mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In olden days, such practices were very common for the transcendentalists, for the mode of life and character in those days were very, very favorable. So if, you know, we are much more in the mode of goodness, maybe this could be incorporated in our practice, because we'd be regulated, we wouldn't waste a lot of time. If we get up and we do our 2-3 hours of yoga, and then we chant for 3 hours, and, you know, and we all be connected, and we leave a sattvic life. But if we try to do too much of anything else in this age besides directly focusing the mind on Krishna, despite our mind being so agitated and disturbed and our health being so bad, if we try to do anything else in this age, that's all we'll do. We'll never get into the bhakti part. We'll never get in, because we're just not our character. We have to do kirtan. We can't even do smaranam. We can't even do japa. We actually have to do kirtan. And that will purify us. And service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, now he described in the previous verse, he can go back to Godhead. And he should reach the cerebral hole and give up material connections, blocking the 7 outlights of the life air. He should push the life air between. I guess it's almost like creating a passage for the soul to come out of the Brahma Rundram, the top of the body here, somehow by meditation and creating the proper and life airs and the mode of goodness, and that you can do that. You can rise the life airs, and then the soul can. I guess if you can bring it to this point, and you actually have that kind of meditative contemplation on the internal workings of your body, then, you know, you can meditate deeply on the soul, keep the objective, and then you could lead the body in that way and achieve some type of perfection. Now here in this verse it says, yadi, however. And then it says, prayasyan, if you maintain a desire, if you maintain a desire, and it describes the things that you can maintain a desire as, parameshtyam, That refers to Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. That's one of the things. And this word is very careful, because this is very important, because you'll see it repeated again and again, because this is where the yogi tries to go. He goes through this whole path. Prabhupada said the Milky Way leads to Brahmaloka. He travels by the Milky Way and his Brahmaloka, and it's a whole gradual process. So Parameshyam, the governing planet of the material world, or Vaihyasanam, and that's traveling in outer space with these demigods. Prabhupada mentioned that in the purport. It's like sometimes when you're young, you know, you want to see Italy, you want to see Paris, you want to see India, you want to travel, you want to see all the places. So all these desires are there. Very difficult. Very difficult. And Ashta Adhipatyam, lording it over, Prabhupada says, lording it over with the eightfold material achievements, these mystic cities. It's very, I knew one devotee, he was very advanced in bhakti yoga, and very detached, but he was so much attracted to cities. He so much wanted cities. Therefore, he learned magic tricks. Just the kind of like.
What process Vishnu and Tathagata process? They also think of the right here, but have not true domain. What did he? Just to give you a Vishnu, lying on the bed of elephants and Tathagata.
Well, it's not the same, because Bhishma, it's because he was such a great devotee, automatically he had mystic powers. It wasn't that he was practicing mystic powers. And therefore he had the benediction to leave at will. And therefore, as part of Krishna's will, he had to wait for the Krishna to come. So he used that, to see the Pandavas, he used that directly in Krishna's service. His only desire was to please Krishna. But because automatically he has that, normally we don't need to use that. A devotee of that caliber, he has those mystic powers. Just like they one time asked Prabhupada, if you're such a great yogi and devotee, then we see you came by airplane. Why didn't you use a flying carpet? And Prabhupada said, I wanted to be one with you. And Thakur Haridas, he was just humble. And the example of Thakur Haridas is he left just like Bhishma did. But the same thing, he waited. He wanted to wait for Mahaprabhu. So he had the power.
But did not exactly explode it through the brain.
How do you know where they left?
It's
not clearly said, but they said a great devotee can either lead through the mouth or a thing. It's the same. But this is the yogic process. And also it says in the previous verse, also it was described that it doesn't matter. The yogi, he doesn't have to be perplexed about the proper time, place, etc. If you're a devotee, then, you know, automatically Krishna will facilitate you. Or, this is it, and that however, if he maintains these desires, then what happens is, he has to saha manasa indriya. He has to go along with the material mind and senses. So if you maintain these desires, then you'll have to go along with these desires, and you won't be able to achieve perfection. You have to take away with you the materially molded mind and senses, and therefore you don't achieve your perfection. So again, we're watching the yogi ascend, and we're seeing what happens if he doesn't become detached. At every level, there's some requirement of detachment. And I mentioned this also in our own spiritual practices. At every level, there's some requirement of detachment. To focus our mind more on Krishna, there's something more we have to give up. So it's also within our process, but it's more natural. It's not that we're just giving up. We're serving Krishna. When our desire to serve Krishna increases, then automatically we give up more and more. But there's still that a little sense of vairagya. Because we have to let go. We have to be without attachment. So the prime inclination, we read that purport. So we'll go on. What happens now? Yogeshwaranam gatima huranta bahistriloka bhavavantaratmanam nakarma vistam gatim apnuvanti vidyatapo yoga samari bhajam. The transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material world. The fruitive worker or the gross materialist can never move in such an unrestricted manner. Because if you're concerned with the material body, it's like anchors, you're burdened. We can even see this in our own spiritual practices. We have some type of aspiration to do something in spiritual life, to take some vrata, to, you know, become more learned, to go on parikram, to do padyatra, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We have so many aspirations in there, but we're restricted. We can't move. And what's preventing us from moving? We're anchored by material desires. But the transcendentalists, Yoga Ishvaranam of the great saints and devotees, they're concerned with the spiritual body. As such, then their vidya, their devotional service, then they, as such, by the strength of their vidya, their devotional service, by the strength of their tapa, their austerities, by the strength of their yoga, their mystic power, by the strength of their samadhi, their transcendental knowledge, then antar vahi, within and without Triloka, the three worlds, they can go wherever they want. So the strength of their determination in Krishna consciousness, they can go. So this is the effect of this contemplative meditation. When you're actually, it's very, very powerful. Even if we can just fix our mind on one thing, you get so much power. If you can just fix your mind in the morning, just even in a material way, what to speak that is a spiritual process, you fix your mind on the holy name of Krishna, how much strength and power one gets. So by this effect of contemplative meditation, it's not limited. Prabhupada said the transcendentalists who have nothing to do with the gross material bodies can move anywhere within or beyond the material world. Everyone can move like Narada Muni or Devas Muni. It is said that Durvasa Muni traveled throughout the entirety of the material space and part of spiritual space within 1 year only. Not restricted. He's not restricted. Now, in the next seven verses, what's going to be described is the act of going through these different stages in the course of the practice of yoga is described. How, it's described now that you have to have the vision. By this contemplative meditation, he's leaving by the Brahmarandram, and now he's proceeding and going up within the universe. So this is his path.
Vaishvanaram yati vahaya sagata shushum naya brahma patena sochasa Vidutta koko tahare rudastat payati chakram nipas shaishumaram.
O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Sushumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmalok, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contamination. And thereafter, he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumar to relate with Lord Hari, the personality of God. So by the path of the, it says, the path of the Hyasa, by the path in the sky, the Milky Way,
He's going to this Brahmaloka. He's going to Brahmaloka. And on the way to Brahmaloka, he first goes to Vaishnavar, the planet of deity of fire, where he becomes cleansed of all material contamination. And then he goes still higher to this Sishumar. So it's describing his path. And the details are not so much here, but it says Vaishvanara Loka, the yogi, becomes cleansed of all dirty sins acquired while in contact with the material world. So he's going higher and higher and higher and higher. Tadishvanabhim Pativartya Vishnur Aniyasavi Rajanatmanaika Namaskritam Brahma Vidam Mupaiti Kalpayashuyad Vibhudavramante. This Sishumar is the pivot for the turning of the complete universe, and it is called the navel of Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu. So somehow, even higher, on his way to Brahmaloka, is this Sishumar. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of sea and attains the planet Maharlok, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life. And this planet is worshipable by those saints who are transcendental. So now he's going to Maharlok. And he's going to go further now. Ato anantasya mukhanalena dandayamanam narariksha vishvam Niryati siddheshvara yushta dishnyan yadvai paradhyam taruparameshtyam. So again, the word parameshtyam, the planet of Brahmalok or Satyalok. At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life, a flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta. So this is what happens. Mukha Analena. What is it? Davanal, like Davanala Kun, where the forest fire is. The same word. Analena, Mukha. So this describes the flame of devastation, Anantasya. This flame is coming from Ananta. So at this time, when this happens, when the flame comes from Ananta and the universe becomes burnt, then he, the yogi, he, Nariksha, he's seeing this from the whole universe, dandyamanam, burning to ashes. So somehow or at this time, he sees the whole universe being burned to ashes. And at that time, he goes to Parameshram, Satyaloka. He goes there. And he leaves on, and how does he go there? He leaves on airplanes that are used by the purified souls. This is what the yogi is doing. Says air. Now, the duration of life on Satya Yuga is calculated here as 15 trillion years. 15 trillion years. Now, what Prabhupada does in the purport is a very interesting thing. He describes that these are very fantastic statements. And it's almost like someone says, you believe that? You know, if you believe that one, then it's such fantastic statements. I mean, you know, 15 trillion years, airplanes, airships, topmost planet. Prabhupada said the statements of Bhagavatam are accepted by all the acharyas. They're accepted by all the acharyas. And then he gives a very brilliant argument. We should accept it. He said, because this is the process. People are accepting knowledge by authority. And the example Prabhupada gives is just like the scientist. Like, everyone here would say, yes, there's such a thing as DNA. But can anyone here see DNA? Can anyone here show me DNA? But why do you accept that there's such a thing as DNA? Or even an atom? Or a molecule? Or a protein? Proton? Or protein? I didn't have that British education like you, Dada.
You had much better.
Okay. So, what happened is we can't see them. We can't verify them. But why do we accept them? Because we have faith that scientists have seen them. And not just one, but many scientists have seen this phenomena and we accept it as true. So Prabhupada says, in the same way, we accept the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. We're common men. We not be able to see, but great acharyas who have purified themselves, they can observe. So what is the difference in the process? It's both are accepting by authority. So what is the difference in the processes? Both means you're accepting by authority. Prabhupada makes that point. We should not therefore depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. For common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or Vedic literature can be verified by him. The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because it has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, but also are liberated souls without any of the flaws of conditioned souls. The modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of the Vedic literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by the great acharyas. Prabhupada is very nice, simple, logical argument. You have 7 more minutes before you go from what? Before you go from bhakti to yoga mishra bhakti. Okay. Yes. Yeah, what's the question?
The whole purpose of Vedic Vyasa to leave it with Brahma and Brahma holds it.
Yeah, right.
But when did they go there and Brahma abandoned it? They should abandon the Brahma's life.
Well, when it says the end of Brahma's life, it doesn't mean that he's dead, but it means the end of Brahma's life. In other words, when Brahma's, you know, it happens at once. Yeah. Yeah, then they leave with Lord Brahma. It's a very interesting process that they take up. The planet. Okay. So we'll read the next verse now that they're. Here we go.
Yatra shokana jarana mityur nartir nachodve gavrate kutas chit yachittato da kripaya dinam vidam taranta dukha prabhavanu darshanat.
In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind. And therefore there are no anxieties, save that sometimes, due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service, who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. So it's describing this Satyaloka, because that was all along, that has been the goal. All along, that has been the goal, to come to this Satyaloka.
Yeah,
it's Shantara. It's come to Satyaloka. So here in Satyaloka, it's described. It's described, yatra, there are none, never, shoka, bereavement or anxiety, mitjara, old age, mityu, death, arti, pain, and udvegam, anxiety. So when you get to that level, it's liberation. You've amalgamated everything, practically speaking. And ritu, save and accept that kutaschit, sometimes, because we're chit, or consciousness, because we have consciousness, then sometimes there's compassion, out of the heartfelt sympathy, the heartfelt sympathy. There's some compassion of those who do not have knowledge of the process of devotional service and therefore are subjected to prabhav, repeated birth and death, anudarshana, by successive experience, dukkha, the misery of repeated birth and death. And when one at that level thinks about that, that he has no anxiety, he's so happy, he has no pain, he has no fear, and then he thinks of others who have to suffer this. A little extent we have this as a devotee. To some extent we have this as a devotee. Because if we're practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, we become free from fear of death. We realize we're eternal. And then we visit our parents. I'm saying this because my father died 2 years ago or a year ago, and therefore I spent some time with my mother. And then, you know, I saw that life where there's no atmagyan. They just identify with the family as this eternal situation, but it's going to be taken away from them by eternal time. So you feel somewhat sorry that they're going to have to go through this death and this death and this birth and death without transcendental knowledge. So this is described here in this thing, this Satyaloka. And then after reaching Satyaloka, the devotee, it is a process, it's described next, the process of incorporating everything material back into the Mahatattva. In other words, again, the same thing we saw at Yudhisthira. Everything that's not connected with the soul, which means connected with his identity as Krishna's servant, is completely given up. And the next few verses, we don't have time to describe them today. It describes how the devotee merges all the material modes and he comes to the point of the self. Specifically, he comes to the point of the self. Atma lingam, the real form of the self. Atmana, the pure self. So this process happens there. And when you go there and you achieve that perfection, you never again return to the material world. And then the Prabhupada also talks about this Bhagavat Gatim. It's the goal, this Bhagavat Gatim. The goal is Krishna. And this is the whole process of this, the goal of this yoga process. So, are there any questions? Yes?
What does Krishna say in the Bible here is Abraham is no longer considered a righteous man?
Well, it's also destroyed. It's all destroyed. Abrahma bhuva loka puna avritanojan. What does it mean? It means from, I said, so when you come down again from this material world. Abrahma bhuva na loka puna avritanojan. What is it right? Yeah. Maybe it's up to Brahma loka. Or maybe, you know, anyway. Yeah. I think we'll have to. Okay. Shubhupati. Yeah. Okay.